Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the singing of our national anthem.
The United Kingdom is a great country.
Never, never been a good bet to bet against America.
Welcome to Mid-Atlantic, the podcast that bridges conversations and perspectives from both sides of the Atlantic. Today, we're excited to launch a new strand of our podcast, aptly titled The Essay. In this series, we dive deep into the histories of institutions, people, or attitudes that stand at the precipice of change, exploring topics in dire need of reform as we grapple with the vestiges of neoliberalism. Our inaugural essay zeroes in on a topic as essential as it is contentious: the privatization of water in the UK. This episode is not just a journey through time. It's an exploration of the transformation of water from a communal resource into a commodity, the impact of this shift on society, and the urgent calls for reevaluation and reform. Water is more than a basic necessity. It's a litmus test for the principles and priorities of a society. The essay on Mid-Atlantic starts now.
As has been proved on many occasions, the privatized water supply is very much more efficient than a public organization. Privatization is a very much better deal for the consumer. That is the message.
In the 19th century, the UK's water provision was a hodgepodge, predominantly comprising privately owned and operated waterworks. This system transitioned towards local governmental control as the century progressed, responding to a recognition of water's essential role in public welfare. This move was driven by a conviction, voiced by figures like Victorian statesman Joseph Chamberlain, that private profit motives could not be reconciled with the public's right to water. Chamberlain's 1884 critique of privatisation underscores a tension that has only intensified.
It's impossible to combine the citizens' needs and the interests of private enterprises, because the objective of enterprise is the biggest profit.
This historical backdrop sets the stage for the privatisation saga of the late 20th century.
It's no good turning on the waterworks after Wednesday. Register by then, or you'll miss out on the extras you could get if you become an H2 owner. To register for incentives and a prospectus in the Watershare office, call 0272 272 272 no later than Wednesday.
Privatized water is a better deal than nationalized water.
Margaret Thatcher, driven by dogma, privatized this national asset. The UK is the only developed nation to have done so before and since. She told a sceptical nation in 1989.
Water privatisation, I believe, will go very successfully indeed.
Over 30 years after the privatisation of water utilities in England and Wales, the venture appears not only just as a failure, but as a veritable rip-off. Private equity's involvement has particularly drawn ire, with firms leveraging companies like Thames Water with unsustainable debt levels, ostensibly to maximise returns, but leaving them teetering on the brink of financial ruin, while chronically underinvesting in infrastructure. Critics point to Thames Water's alarming £16 billion debt
and the meagre £500 million shareholder contribution towards the required £1.5 billion turnaround as emblematic of a system in distress.
Inundated. Pipelines bursting, sewers overrun, now debt threatening to sweep Britain's biggest water company away.
Hello, I'm Sarah Bentley, Thames Water's CEO. We've stepped up our leakage activity to help us get back on track this year, but it is going to be a challenge.
It's turned out to be a bigger challenge than Bentley thought. Last night, the chief executive suddenly resigned, leaving the government looking at the prospect of an emergency rescue. The business is currently racing to find a cash injection as it struggles to manage the potential hole in its finances.
This debacle cast Thames Water as the unacceptable face of Britain's utility privatisations, a sentiment echoed across the political spectrum. Massive shareholder dividends, rising costs to the consumer, pollution of the nation's rivers, all while delivering a poorer service, fueling calls for renationalisation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
These critiques often conflate two distinct issues: the precarious financial state of some firms and the systemic underinvestment in infrastructure. The story around Thames Water's current debt crisis is emblematic of the broader industry woes, corporate greed, and the consequence of regulatory shortcomings. The pollution pervading the rivers across the United Kingdom presents a dire image of environmental vandalism, shareholder greed, and government neglect. The release of untreated sewage by water companies, accountable for 35% of all pollution in English rivers, evidences a systemic failure of UK regulatory bodies. The frequent dumping of untreated or partially treated wastewater into our rivers, a practice that shockingly resulted in 400,000 instances in 2020, and this is according to the World Wide Fund for Nature, has led to perilously high levels of E. coli bacteria. This includes the stretch of the River Thames used for the annual Oxford-Cambridge boat race. Alarmingly, recent tests have revealed E. coli levels of up to 10 times higher than what is deemed acceptable, meaning that it is now officially unsafe to swim in any English river. When water was privatised, Ofwat, the industry's regulator, was supposed to be the consumer's eye on the industry, but 30 years of its regulation has now shown it to be toothless in protecting this vital utility. The regulator's conservative approach to investment stifled necessary spending on infrastructure. This has left England grappling with outdated facilities, insufficient reservoirs to meet demands of climate change and population growth, and a water system that both leaks water and sewage into the natural environment. The fallout from these regulatory and financial shortcomings is not abstract. We can see this in what has been washed up on Britain's shores, sewage prompting mounting public outcry for cleaner water. This crisis demands a re-evaluation not only of the privatisation model, but of the regulatory framework that has failed to safeguard the public's need for a sustainable, efficient and equitable water supply. Not much to ask in a country blessed with abundant rainfall. As discussions veer towards nationalisation as the only solution, and the broader story of water privatisation in England underscores a fundamental truth: water is not merely a public good, but an essential necessity, one ill-suited to the whims of market forces and the pursuit of profit. It should be held by us all truly as a trust. The alarming revelation that record levels of sewage are being pumped into England's rivers is not only an environmental catastrophe, it's a public health crisis that demands immediate and decisive action. The silence from the current government on this matter is both deafening and unacceptable. The predicament facing England's water system, a crisis of underinvestment, regulatory inadequacy and environmental degradation, calls for a re-evaluation of the very foundations upon which our water services are built. The final twist here is a revelation that Scottish water is cleaner and more affordable than English water. Why? Because it was never privatised. Amid soaring bills and surging profits for the privatised water companies, the call for nationalisation resonates strongly across the UK, with the majority of Britons, including Conservative voters, advocating for essential utilities like water to be run in the public sector. Notably, 63% believe the water industry should return to public ownership, a sentiment even shared by 58% of Conservative voters. And this is according to a YouGov poll in 2022. This highlights a widespread desire for a shift away from privatisation, underlining the public's preference for essential services to be operated for the public good rather than private gain. Put simply, nationalising water is a vote winner. Nationalisation is the only pragmatic response to this failed experiment. Then responsibility must fall to the incoming Labour government. Starmer must put water nationalisation as a key pledge in his manifesto. Such a move would not only rectify the systemic failings that have led to the current crisis, but also align to a broader commitment to the public interest, consumer protection and environmental stewardship. Some goods are too essential to be left to the market. Nationalising the water industry is more than a policy decision. It's a commitment to doing right by the country, the public, the consumer and the rivers that cradle our ecosystems.
Water privatisation, I believe, will go very successfully indeed.
Hello, Royfield here. I hope you enjoyed this first essay. If you like the content here, please do a few things. Tell a friend to download the podcast, share it so we can reach a wider audience. And if you really appreciate what I'm doing, why don't you sign up for my Substack at royfield.substack.com and consider becoming a paid member. You can sign up for free, but if you have any spare change, that would be fantastic because it will help me to continue producing this podcast. Lastly, please write a review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, Leftist End of Politics is Right Thinking Politics.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at oseamalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.